In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we celebrate the circumcision, and the circumcision was a covenant that God made between Abraham and his descendants. It is an agreement that was a physical mark on our flesh of mankind to separate those that were dedicated to God. This religious ceremony of circumcision was supplanted by the sacrament of baptism. Christ came, he instituted a sacrament of baptism, but in that same sacrament, we give a name. Just like at circumcision, the name is given to him, so in baptism, we give a name. But something more important happens at baptism. Either we ourselves or the adult who answers for us, we make vows to God, we promise God that we have renounced Satan, the world, his pomps, and all of these things, and we swear to follow God. We make a solemn oath, a solemn promise. It is a covenant with God. God has agreed to give us the graces we need to open up the gates of heaven, and we on our part have agreed to know, love, and serve him in this world. Renouncing Satan, his pomps, all his works, ready to turn our back upon the world, to turn to God. This is the vow that we made at our baptism. This is the covenant that God has established with us. And we know that God is always going to live up to his part of the agreement. The only question is, how well are we doing? Are we living up to our promises to God? But I'd like to point out to the religious, those who have made profession, that we have continued these vows. We have renewed these vows many times. But even those in the world, you were baptized, you made this promise, you entered into this covenant with God. When you got to be a little bit older, you prepared to receive our Lord in Holy Communion. You went to confession. And you made promises to God in your act of contrition. I firmly resolve with the help of thy grace to avoid the occasion of sin, not to sin again. However you worded that promise, you've made a promise with God. We all have. When we received our Lord in Holy Communion, we spoke to our Lord heart to heart, and again, very often, we made a promise, asking our Lord to help keep this grace alive within us, to keep the joy of the occasion alive within us. Those who have entered into marriage, they have again made a covenant with God. Those who receive the sacrament of confirmation have again made promises to God. Our entire life is surrounded by this covenant with God, these promises, this exchange. God keeps his word. The problem is we keep failing to keep ours. The religious who enter the religious life, again, they make vows to God. We promise God to live for him, taking our baptismal vows one step further. We enter in, we make those temporary vows, and then after a period of time, we make solemn vows for the rest of our lives. We like to renew those once a year, at least once a year. But it is, as spiritual writers tell us, it is much better if we review them, renew them, if you will, day by day. To think of who we are, where we stand. This covenant is essential, and it is no longer of the Old Testament. The circumcisions did not provide any extra grace. It was just a physical mark that let you know you belong to Christ, or you belong to God. Baptism doesn't leave that physical mark upon us, but it leaves a spiritual mark upon our souls. In the catechism, we teach the children. There are three sacraments that place an indelible mark on our soul, a mark that cannot be taken away. And we will be judged as Catholics on the day of judgment because we've received the mark of baptism. We've received the mark of confirmation. And those that have been ordained a priest have received the mark of the ordination, holy orders. Those marks on our soul are very much like the marks given in circumcision. The scars, the wounds, if you will. St. Augustine compared it to a tattoo, a mark upon our soul that even if we sin and fall away, that mark is still there. It doesn't go away. You can perhaps disfigure it, you can mar it up, but it's still there. And on Judgment Day, we will stand before God with that mark. And he will say, oh, you've been marked as one of me, you must have been a traitor. You haven't lived up to that mark, to that promise. Where have you been? And as we enter this new year, we celebrate the Feast of the Circumcision. It is traditionally, at least in the world, a time to make New Year's resolutions. And everybody is going to resolve to eat better, to lose weight, or they're going to do this, they're going to do that. And I don't care whether you do that or not. I'm really indifferent. But I suggest that we take the time to make some spiritual resolutions. Set aside some time every day to renew those vows, those promises, or at least just remind ourselves of the promises that we've made. It's when we forget those vows, those promises, that we fail to live up to them. We need to take at least a little bit of time every day in our prayer, our meditation, to think of these vows, these promises. This is what I have vowed to God, and this is what God has promised me if I keep my vows. God hasn't failed to live up to his part of the bargain, but I have failed in mine. And we can resolve to do better again. We can renew those vows. And we can again beg God, give me the grace to keep this promise. Without God's grace, we can't do it. It's not something we can do on our own by our sheer willpower, brute force. We're not going to go barging in and take control of everything. No, we come basically as little children with our hat in hand and say, Lord, help me. I want to do well, I want to do better, but I can't do it without you. Help me, I need your help. And it takes us to embrace humility, to become like little children. And I know it's very frightening when we're inundated with the world, the devil, and all the temptations. We feel like St. Paul, Lord, deliver me from this devil. And what does our Lord say to St. Paul? My grace is sufficient for you. Your strength is in your weakness. He says the same thing to us. Let us not think we're strong and we're all powerful and we can do barge through this life, avoiding all the snares, all the trials, all the temptations, and conquer over each and every one of them by our own power. If we think we can do that, we're fools. We must go through fearful, like a little child. Lord, save me. There's a pitfall. I almost fell in. Lord, didn't you see it? Help me. Take my hand. Daily pray to our guardian angel. This world is trap after trap. You can barely take a step without the devil, the world, something tempting you, drawing you down. I think the sooner we realize that, the sooner we come to God in prayer. We pray more earnestly to our guardian angel. I am a little child, a spiritual child. I am an infant. I'm not making any progress on my own. I need your help. I need your guidance. Take me by the hand. Show me. And then perhaps we can say, don't only take me by the hand, but force me to go with you. Sometimes I'm a spoiled child and I refuse to do what is best for me. And in those moments of intelligence and reason, we can pray to the guardian angel. Take control. Don't just lead me. Grab a hold of me. Keep me from falling. Save me. Push me onto the right path. Knock me down before I fall down into the pit. Send me the cross so that I stop and re-examine. When we realize the help that we need, I think we pray more fervently. We become more humble. And then we truly begin to make spiritual progress. But as we make that progress, we're again humbled and say, Lord, it is no longer me, but it's Christ living within me. Look at the good work that you've done in me, Lord. It is not my own doing. And with all humility, we can look at our fellow man as many of the saints did and say, I am worse than that man there. Instead of what the devil and the world prompts us to say, I'm better than him. Oh Lord, I thank you, I'm not like that one, or I'm not like this one. No, true humility, knowing the truth about ourselves, especially in our spiritual state, we can say, that man is better than I am. The man going to his execution for his crimes is better than I am. I believe it was St. Francis of Assisi explained to us. That man, if he had received all the graces that I have received, he would be a much better person than I am right now. And if I had been exposed to all that evil that that man had been exposed to, I'm sure I would be worse than he is now. More deserving of the punishment than he is. And so instead of judging ourselves better than our fellow men, we can always judge them to be better than ourselves without any false humility, but in all truth and justice, we look upon ourselves. And as I often tell people and give them advice, we're not meant to compare ourselves to our neighbor. Christ didn't say, oh, do what this man is doing or do what that man is doing. Follow this one or follow that one. Our Lord said, come, follow me, follow him. Deny yourself, take up your cross daily and come, follow me. And if, as we look to Christ and we look to ourselves, then we can truly humble ourselves and strike our breast and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Benedictio Dei omnipotentis, Patris, Filii, et Spiritus Sancti, descendit super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.